Welcome to the Aligned Compass Podcast. You're in the right place if you've ever felt lost, directionless, trapped, or clueless as to how to feel more fulfilled in your life. Feeling stuck or lost doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. In fact, it's a calling. It's a calling into something more wild, something more exciting, more fulfilling, more authentic to you. It's a challenge. It's an invitation to remember your true self. We have discussions and interviews with others who've discovered their purpose one step at a time. Join me on this path of unraveling the social self and learn how to show up more fully in your business, in your family, and in your life. I'm your host, Amber Christine. So have a seat, grab some coffee, and let's talk. Lauren and I had this conversation back in February, and I'm so happy to share it with you now. She's got a program coming out this Friday, July 1st, 2022, that she's going to talk about a little bit called Flow, and she's going to give us some brilliant stuff from that program a little bit, unpacking the emotional process of creating and enforcing boundaries, which for those of us who are people pleasers, not only does she call us out, but she lays a foundational framework for us to navigate these more intelligently and gracefully, especially with our loved ones. What I love about Dr. Lauren is her brazen honesty about learning how to set these herself and her own process in growing into these. And a mind-blowing moment for me was when Lauren talked about getting to say when and how people get access to me. This was definitely a shift for me to think about. I've always felt like my time and my projects and my priorities have to come after everyone else's are taken care of. Like typical mom thinking, am I right? But didn't even realize I operated that way until it was called out. There's so many juicy nuggets like that one in here. Just jump in and take a listen. I'm excited for you to be introduced to Dr. Lauren Hodge. Here she is.
Okay, so here she is, Dr. Lauren Hodge. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me on today, Amber. I appreciate it.
I'm so excited for us to have our conversation today. So we talk all the time. We meet regularly for accountability. So I feel like it's really easy for us to talk. And I'm excited to actually record this because I feel like we cover so many interesting topics all the time. So thank you again for coming on. I just want to jump into the questions if that's okay with you. So first, I think I kind of know, but I want for my listeners to hear, what was your journey to entrepreneurship? What did that look like for you?
That's a really good question. For me, entrepreneurship has kind of happened over the last 3 years. I initially was in the kind of academic world and doing research and really working in parenting and family support. And whenever I decided to start my own consultancy and coaching business, I didn't expect that I would actually be like working for myself for this long and that this would be like a continued effort. So I thought that just initially, whenever I moved back to the US, that this would be the thing that I was doing while I found other work. But it's definitely turned into a great way for me to expand my interests and start coaching. So I started out consulting and now I'm moving into the coaching world. And it has been a journey for sure.
So what I'm hearing is it's been an evolving kind of thing. So yeah. You mentioned moving back to the US. Do you mind telling everyone where you moved from?
Yeah, so I was in Australia for about 11 years. And there that I was doing research and working as a consultant for a couple of different companies, doing work really related to public health, parenting, early childhood, and family support programs.
Okay. And that's where you got your doctorate, correct?
That's right. Yes. At the University of Queensland there, at the school, in the School of Psychology.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Okay. Thank you for sharing that. So then that leads me to my next question. All of our listeners have some kind of a story, and somewhere in there is this vulnerable experience of being lost in this journey to entrepreneurship or thinking about going into entrepreneurship. So I just wanted to ask, what was your experience with that feeling, and what did you do with it to get where you are?
Wow. I think there have been a few times where I've felt that throughout the entrepreneurial kind of journey. And for me, I'd say every time that that's come up, it's been when somebody, you know, close to me who I kind of respect and I really appreciate their opinion. And so it could be a ex-boyfriend or a coach or a friend. And it's whenever I've asked for their advice on the direction that I'm taking, which is kind of away from working in parenting and family support, still doing that, but I'm expanding to, you know, stress management and burnout prevention. And so whenever I've asked for that advice, and everyone has said, you know, that you should stay in this area of parenting and family support. This is where the need is. This is where your area of expertise is. And whenever I've taken that advice, I've felt deeply and utterly lost trying to find my way in the entrepreneurial world, because I know that what I'm meant to be doing right at this moment, at least, is more of the flow coaching and the stress management thing. So that always feels very similar each time. And I've just learned over time to, it's great to ask for people's advice. You can ask for their advice. You don't have to take it. And to always first sit with myself and try to be with myself and journal through, ask myself questions before I ask others for their piece, for their advice, or even afterwards, and always go with what my like internal knowing is.
Oh my gosh. There are so many things right there in that one response that I heard that I want to like ask more questions about. So one is first this feeling of knowing. There's some kind of knowing of what you're supposed to be doing, right? Mm-hmm. So you're talking about this flow, which for everyone listening, she's referring to her program, which we will talk more about later. Flow is Lauren's program that she created. But you had this knowing that you had this other area to work in, this other area to grow into. Two, you asked the people around you for advice. So you were kind of asking for some kind of like external validation. And in real time, you got these internal, this internal feedback saying that that wasn't right. That information wasn't right. Mm-hmm. So, oh God, there's so many other great questions I could go from here with about that I think would be beneficial for everyone listening, because I think there's all of us, there's a process that all of us go through in, you know, being women in this culture that we grow up in. I feel like there's kind of this piece of unlearning to become a successful entrepreneur, to stay focused on what you're supposed to do. We can't be accommodating anymore. We can't be told what lane we're supposed to be in. We have to chart that for ourselves.
That's right.
Yeah. Can you speak more about that, about like you kind of getting solid in charting your own path?
I'd say that that is a process, and you're right. Like that's what I've been learning over the last couple of years. I'd say for me, whenever I was first kind of diving into this entrepreneurial world, I had an idea of what I was interested in and I went for that and it didn't work out. So that the first time I like went with my internal knowing, it didn't work out at that time, but it's still something that's evolving, right? And now with this particular thing, being able to, it's like being able to confidently say, because I've now tried this at least two times, and each time it hasn't worked out. I mean, it's worked out, but it was like you're trudging through the mud, like you're feeling like you're in quicksand and you're just like sinking down. And it is very difficult for me. And it's, these are things and projects that I've worked on that like should not be difficult. They're things I've done in the past and I know how to do them. It's just, that's what it feels like. And so every time I go back to the things that I'm wanting to, that I've created. And every time I do that, I get this amazing sense of, girl, you're on the right path. Like I get those messages coming through daily, and it's still scary as shit. And I still don't know what I'm doing all the time. That's for sure. But I just get these nudges that happen sometimes throughout the day. And I'm like, okay, this is that feeling that I had, you know, last year at this time when I was working on the same thing. So it's kind of like you start to know what these feelings feel like. And you're like, that's when you know that you're working on the right thing. So I think it takes a little bit of trial and error, right?
Yes. I can totally relate to that. And I love how you describe the process of looking at what you're supposed to be doing, looking at that knowing where, you know, your next work is, and then kind of going backwards, like even in the face of failure and having to kind of retreat and build up resources, you know, whatever your situation is. But then even in trying to do that, just feeling like it's so hard, trudging through the mud. I love your image of that. Cause I felt that. I've definitely felt that. And I just left my day job for the same reason, trying to jump in full steam ahead with my stuff too. So it's cool. It's cool to hear other people kind of articulate some of the experiences that you feel.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I do think that that feeling now, I know whenever I feel that, and it's a different kind of feeling to like, this is hard or this is difficult or this, you know, I'm having like a day where the, you know, work is a bit harder to get through. It is that real sensation of, you know, other things are pulling you back and you can't even explain what it is. But I think you start to learn those sensations over time. You start to learn those sensations and build that like muscle to be able to say, I'm going to listen to my like inner knowing.
That's so good.
I feel like because when you don't, it comes up, it's going to, that feeling is going to come up and it's going to kind of like backfire in a way. And then you're like, damn it. You know, I knew this could happen, but yeah, anyways.
Oh my God. Yes. Yep. I've definitely been there. So it's interesting that you're talking about this because, I think when we have like this idea of how everything's going to play out in our mind, you know, everything, we think it's going to be linear and like this beautiful process. And now even in my situation where I was like, okay, I'm jumping in January. Holy crap. It's been one thing after another. And now it's February. And now I'm finally jumping into my business in the real way I was imagining, when I promised myself it would be January, but I got COVID over New Year's, you know, and then that took a couple weeks to recover. And even longer, if I'm honest with myself, that fatigue is no joke. It does not go away. And then I had to catch up on the graduate coursework, you know, that I missed out on when I had COVID. So it just seems like it's one thing after another piling up, but it, that seems to be a theme all the time. It's not, it, that's just life, right? So I want to air the obstacles I've been facing because I know I'm not the only one who has to tweak her schedule to work around life, but still figure out how to stay on course. So I'm wondering, Lauren, if you can tell us how to still meet our goals, even when we're in the midst of stress and things going haywire.
That's a great question. I really like that question. So I'd say the first thing, and I'm sure this is not the thing that most people want to hear, especially for the people pleasers and perfectionists out there, which I am a recovering people pleaser and perfectionist. So I know how this is, but
you're going to call us out.
Yeah. Like I am. I'd say one of the biggest things is to first look at your goals. So when we're thinking about your, the number of goals that you have, I think so many people think that we need to accomplish these three things and those are our priorities, but really the word priority is really meant to be for one thing. It's not a to-do list of goals. It's not a to-do task list. It's really like reprioritizing and picking your one thing to focus on, so that it's more manageable. Like, we know that process of taking things and pulling them out into like bite-sized steps, right? And so even when you think that they are down to like the smallest bite-sized step, it's cutting it down even more, because what you really want is to have a win every day. So allowing yourself to have small wins each day then starts to build your muscle and like your stress muscle in a way, where if you're experiencing stress, you're still able to go back and like look at your goals and your priorities and say, this is what's important to me. And I also need to fit in, movement or exercise, socializing, the kids, and our nighttime routine and our morning time routine. So it's almost like you're looking at your schedule and you're saying, okay, these are the things that are important to me that I want to fit in. And then you're also thinking, okay, what is my one priority? Like, if I had 90 minutes today, what would be the one thing I need to get to finish with work? And really keeping it down to that. I feel like that is one of the hardest things in the planet, especially right now with how we're all, we all need support right now, you know, and we're all wanting to help others. So I think there's that. It's fitting in these things, but also only prioritizing what's most important to you and what you need. It's also about kind of rebuilding trust in yourself. So asking yourself the question, you know, what is it that I need? Like, really sitting, I sit with my hand on my heart, both of them, and ask myself daily, what do I need right now? And you rebuild that trust in yourself by actually giving yourself that thing. So not just asking what you need, but then allowing yourself to have, and I'm talking like a 10-minute walk. I need to rest. I need to sleep. I need to get outside and just do something different. Whatever that is, it's giving yourself that daily to kind of move past that.
That is so good. So you do this even when you have these goals where you're like, oh my God, today is going to be a crazy day and I have this agenda. You still make time for that.
I do. Yes. And I will say, I do not have kids. Like, and I think that that is a thing to consider. I know you and I have talked about this a number of times, and that, like, you know, there are, I do have like this other like luxury of time luxury a bit more in the evenings and that sort of thing. So I know for parents, after working with parents for 15 years, like, it is definitely a thing that you have to put in. It's almost like you have to put it in the schedule. And the other part of that is getting your support team to help you protect your time for 10 minutes of meditation or sitting in silence, protect your time for sleep, protect your time for movement, and saying, like, these are the things that are important for me to function. So this is when I do them. Nobody else is coming in on this time. And allowing other people to help you and hold you accountable is a really useful way to do that.
Oh my God. That's really good. And I'm trying to imagine how I would even do that. Like, how do you have other people in your life, like your partner, hold you accountable for having those boundaries with yourself? So speaking about some of what you were just talking about setting time for yourself, first of all, I have a question before we move on. Do you do this in the morning or at night, or is it like something that's more fluid with your schedule, the taking time to say, what do I need?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think whenever I'm feeling like a frustrated or an irritated feeling coming up, or maybe a feeling where I want to avoid doing something, that's when I take it. So it's in the moment while I'm working, I ask myself, like, what do I need?
So it's not just like a daily thing you do, but it's also, there's kind of an internal trigger of like, I don't feel good. What do I need?
Oh. Yeah, it's when like uncomfortable feelings come up. It happens daily. So that's when I will ask myself, what do I need? Sometimes I just need a couple deep breaths, and sometimes I need to take a walk. But just allowing myself to have whatever that thing is.
That's brilliant. So that's almost like having boundaries with yourself.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly right. It's very similar to it is showing up for yourself so that you can be the person that you want to be. And in order to do that, you have to flex that muscle of showing up for yourself.
Yeah. And I like what you said earlier about the breaking these big goals down. So first of all, having the focus of one priority, right? Which is really hard to do, but I think you're so right. And the more I listen to other business mentors, that's what they say. But then actually breaking them into measurable goals every day, not measurable goals, but like bite-sized things where you can actually win. Because once you build that trust back with yourself, it just builds off of that. And that's like having boundaries with yourself. I don't know. It seems like kind of obvious, but I never thought of it in that way. Which is also kind of a perfect segue into what you came to teach us today, which you have 5 tips about boundaries for us. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct. So the 5 tips about boundaries is really starting with telling people when they have access to you. Like that's kind of the general idea with boundaries. It's when they have access to you, how they can have access to you or to your heart, even if you're in a relationship. So the boundaries allow you to protect your time, allow you to be able to take space.
Can I interrupt for 1 second?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh yeah. My God. That's so good. I'm like having a mind blown moment thinking like that's just always been taken for granted. I didn't think about, people get to have access to me or I get to, say where that begins and ends, especially having a family, having a child, having a partner. So I just needed to stop and point that brilliance out before you can continue. Okay, please continue. Yeah,
that is so true. And it is, it's that feeling of, it's almost like being your own best friend or best sidekick because you're standing up for yourself and letting people know that, you know, you get to protect your own space. So the first step is, and I'm sure we've all had these moments where you can identify a time where you felt frustrated or agitated or angry at someone else. And you're probably actually upset at yourself for letting them cross your boundary. But you're feeling that way and you're probably projecting it out onto them with anger because you're upset that they are crossing this boundary. Can you relate to that?
Yes. I'm like making this big face. That is, oh, that's so good. Yeah. Okay.
So those moments are the times when you can say, okay, this is where I need to take a pause. Because this is most likely going to be a boundary that I need to set. So when you start to feel that agitation, you remind yourself to take a pause to process what this thing is that's activating your emotions and that's making you feel uncomfortable. And the process for really unpacking your emotions is what I think of as a pretty simple process of naming the situation that triggered the emotion without any kind of judgment. So for example, it might be that you are asked to go to dinner and you're not really feeling up for it, but we won't go into that. So you're asked to go to dinner. That's the thing. And, and then you name the emotion. So you start to feel a little bit, you're feeling aggravated, and you're feeling, some tension rise.
I'm picturing it in my mind and I'm thinking I've had this day at work and my partner wants me to go to a business dinner or something where I'm supposed to be on. And I just like, I'm not there.
So yeah, you're asked to go to dinner and you feel these emotions coming up and then you notice your thoughts. So you notice the emotion is you're feeling frustrated and irritated. The thought is, oh my God, why does he always think that I'm available to do these dinners? He knows that I need to go home to the kids. And then the action that you take. So then you think about your action and again, without judgment. So we're not We're not judging how you're feeling. We're not judging your thoughts. We're just naming them. So the action that you take might be to fire back a message that says, you know, I'm busy, or, you know, I have to take care of the kids or get dinner for the kids tonight. And so you have those activating moments. And really what you would want to do is to take a pause before you have that immediate response of like, you know, I'm doing something, and just take a moment to take a deep breath. So you breathe in and you breathe out, and you remember this process of being able to think about your emotions and your feelings, and then you can pick the action that you want to take. So I'm feeling frustrated because my partner's asked me to go to dinner and I'm exhausted and I still need to take care of the kids. And so my action is going to be to tell him that I can't do this, but, you know, to just say, no, I can't join you at dinner. And so with that process of unpacking the emotions, you're really just teaching yourself to take a pause. And whenever I normally would go through this with somebody in the course, it's through a series of about 3 sessions so that you have time to really practice sitting with those emotions and those thoughts and not judging them, because that in itself is a really difficult process. So then the next step in that is to set the boundary. So if you're noticing that you're feeling this often and you're getting this frustrated feeling often where you're getting last minute messages from your partner to go to dinners, and he knows that you need to plan in advance, you need to get a babysitter and all of those things, then that's your cue that it's time to communicate to him a boundary that, and you do this, what I call this a shit sandwich. You first name the thing that your appreciation, sorry, for the person. You first name like the how you appreciate them and you love them. And in order for this relationship to continue, you just need the rules for engagement to change a bit. So You start there, then you say the I feel statement, and you go into saying, all right, so I feel frustrated when you ask me to come to dinner late. Then you say the thing that you need. I need you to give me at least 3 days notice so that I can get a babysitter. And then you end it with, I am telling you this because I really want, again, the shit sandwich. I really want this relationship to continue. And in order for this to continue, I need you to ask me these things in advance. And so that's the process. I think oftentimes whenever we set boundaries, we forget that we're just communicating our boundaries, and it doesn't necessarily mean that the other person is going to agree with what we're saying. So you want to make sure that you're able to back yourself up. And I think that's where I normally get caught.
I want to live in a world where we can all feel like enough just by being who we are. And I want to live in a world where we can always continuously make our lives better. I'm constantly telling people the magic bullet is meditation to make change in your life. Dynamic meditation. Meditation that answers specific questions. Guided meditation that leads you to epiphanies and answers that weren't previously available to you. But I've always been missing an important piece of this. The magic bullet isn't the meditation itself. The magic bullet is a rise in consciousness. That's what meditation offers. And the rise in consciousness is what brings the new answers, the new perspective, the solutions to the problems you're trying to solve. Have you ever heard the adage that trying to find a solution doesn't exist in the same frequency as the problem? Well, it's true. This is often why creative ideas come in the shower or while driving, because you've softened and accessed a different mindset or rise in consciousness, if only for a moment. Well, what if you could apply this and make it work for you, for your business? I only use dynamic meditation with a purpose in mind, and this is why I've created the 5-day meditation challenge for business owners and entrepreneurs. It applies to people in business, in any business really, because it shows you where you are, where you want to be, and how meditating consistently can affect your bottom line. You can find it at amberchristine.mykajabi.com/med med-challenge. That's amberchristine.mikekajabi.com/med-challenge. I'll put the link in the show notes. You can find it in my link bio on Instagram at amberchristine. Can't wait to see you there.
That's the process. I think oftentimes whenever we set boundaries, we forget that we're just communicating our boundaries, and it doesn't necessarily mean that the other person is going to agree with what we're saying. So you want to make sure that you're able to back yourself up. And I think that's where I normally get caught. In that process.
Yeah. This was my next question. What if you have someone who sees boundaries as more fluid or something that can be massaged or a puzzle to be worked out? What if you have someone that doesn't just take you at, oh, you said this, that is word like that, or that is gold, you know, what happens with the people who try to push a little more?
I mean, it kind of has to be expected, right? I think a lot of people do come back and try to push any kind of boundaries that you set oftentimes. So in those moments, it's more about, I call this the broken record. You just keep repeating the thing that you said before. Mm-hmm. And so it's not about changing the boundary, because when you set a boundary, that's really you saying this is a requirement for me to live a life that's true to me, and where I'm happy and not, frustrated and aggravated all the time. So communicating that boundary again, so you would just repeat what you're saying, let them know that you understand that it might be hard for them to relate, and that maybe they don't understand how serious this is for you, but that you have already stated that you're going to need a 3-day advance notice every time they come back to try to ask you to do that dinner at the last minute.
Okay. Oh, that's good. So them pushing or trying to find where they can make things work doesn't necessarily make them a villain. Sometimes it's just someone who's trying to see how both people's needs can be met. And you just have to be firm sometimes in that, no, this is where my boundary lies. This is it.
That's right. Yes. I think there's been so many times where I even have noticed myself doing this, where I will say, I've had this happen as an entrepreneur, actually, with a couple of different business decisions and whether or not I wanted to work with a particular person. And I would say to myself, okay, I'm going to end this type of work relationship. And it's a definite no, nothing they're going to do is going to talk me into this. And the next thing I know, we're on the phone because they want to understand where things aren't working or whatever. And I'm getting talked into doing another, month long service with the person. And I'm like, how did that happen? And I'm like, they know the things, my hooks, they know my hooks, and they probably are not actually doing it on purpose. It's just them being them, and it works. And so then I'll say in the moment, I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. And then I get off the phone and I have to call them back because I'm like, no, that was a no. That was a definite no. I had it written everywhere that it was a no, but I still ignored that thing. So I think it's just a practice. You have to practice continuously backing yourself up.
I love you modeling this for us. Okay, I got hooked in. I said yes again when I told myself I wasn't going to. And then you still made the call and was like, okay, I wasn't supposed to do that. This is a no for me. Sorry. I love you kind of presenting that as an option. Even after we messed up and crossed our own boundary, we can still fix it. It doesn't mean that we're tied to carrying through with something that's not true for us.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. I've done that now. I've had to do that twice, actually. And both times I'm like, am I really going to do this? This is kind of embarrassing. But every time they kind of get it. They're like, yeah, I mean, you had already said no the first time. I'm surprised you said yes. They won't say that, but they're definitely fully accepting of my final no.
That's kind of great to hear that too. Hearing this as an option for the first time and then hearing how they take it well when you're you take it away again. So that brings me to another question. What do you have to say about boundary setting hangovers? So what I mean by that is when you set a boundary, something that's been bothering you, And then you voice it and you say, this is the need that I have. And then there's like this, oh God, I never should have said that. Like, I feel awful and I feel bad for saying that, even though it's honoring your needs and something that you really need.
That's a really good question, because I feel like there are a couple layers to that. I think always, whereas one thing I can say is like always knowing that when you honor what is right for you, you're doing the right thing. And it's almost like you have to have this relentless idea of preserving your mental health, because that feeling will come up, like the feeling of guilt or whatever, like, have I made the right decision, or all of those things, like those things will come up. But it's just always knowing that every decision I make is a decision for my mental health and for what I need and what for my business needs.
Yeah. And I think for me, working through some of that, because I've definitely experienced the boundary setting hangover, it's exploring that what part of myself feels like it's not worthy to take up the space to have these boundaries. And again, linking that to how you kind of introduced this whole topic, is boundaries are letting people know where they have access to you. Mm-hmm. Like, you are not an infinite resource. So thinking about where you get to draw that line in the sand is really good. Mm-hmm. So let's do a quick recap. Of the five tips. So number one is,
identify your boundaries when you're frustrated and feeling like someone's crossing your boundary.
Okay. And number identify. Two,
take a pause to process when something activates your emotions.
Amazing. Number three,
process and unpacking your emotions.
And number four,
setting the boundary. So that is when you do the shit sandwich.
Okay. And then number five.
Is backing yourself up. So being prepared for them to come back and being prepared for you to say, needing to back yourself up.
Okay. That's so good. It makes me so uncomfortable at the same time, but that's how you know it's good, right?
Yes, I know. I mean, it's still, for me, as a practice, it's something, I have a coach that we oftentimes are talking about boundaries, especially with business and those types of things. So I actually have her as a support system in a lot of decision making, because, you know, when you're an entrepreneur and you're a solopreneur, you're the only, you know, person in your business that's doing all the things. It's important to be able to have somebody to figure out, okay, like, is this a boundary I need to set? Those types of things.
Yeah. So how do you know when something is a boundary you need to set? Is there like an internal trigger, or is there like criteria?
That's a great question. It's usually written everywhere. I have post-its everywhere. Like, I'm a post-it person, but it's repeatedly written on post-its and notebooks, and it will just keep coming up. And that obviously means it's also coming up in my thoughts a lot. So it means this is something I have to address like now. If it's a big boundary.
So when you find repetition through your notes, through your thoughts, through your feelings, that's when you know.
Yeah, that's about when it keeps coming up and it hasn't been addressed. If it's something that I'm like, what is this thing? Because I'll write down those types of questions to myself throughout the day. Like, I have a notebook just for processing my thoughts and going through like the emotion regulation process. Like, that's just one notebook for it. So when that question keeps coming up in that notebook, or a question about a specific project or thing, then that's when I know that I need to address it and set a boundary.
Oh my gosh, that is so good. So everything that you've shared with us today is such good content. And the amazing thing is that you've got your own program right now that you are launching, which is called Flow, right? And the boundaries piece is only one of the pillars of all of the content that you teach in your program. Can you tell us a little bit more about Flow?
Yes. So Flow is a program that I developed based on my experience with stress and burnout, and it pulls together a lot of different research practices and psychological practices to support people to move through stress and still accomplish their goals, or move through stress, rest, and then still accomplish their goals. So it's kind of depending on where the person's at in that stress, chronic stress, or burnout cycle, that we address whatever's coming up for them so that they can get back to living a life that's true to them.
Mm. And we talked earlier about burnout, and I feel like that's the really extreme piece of this. And you talked about you like to really be more in the preventative stage, but for the people who have reached burnout and for people who've been operating in that for a long time, what are some of the physical symptoms of burnout? Like, how do you know you're there?
So if you are at full on like chronic burnout, you are probably feeling a sense of full and complete exhaustion mentally, physically, and spiritually. So you are just exhausted and tired. And for some people, this would also be a feeling of like apathy. So if they once really cared about what their job or work, and they just cannot identify one thing that they enjoy about work, that would be also a huge indicator that you've kind of moved into burnout. I know for me, whenever I experienced that, I also was struggling cognitively. So I just knew that I wasn't really able to string a sentence together. I was not sleeping. I was a full insomniac at that time. So I was getting like 3 to 4 hours of sleep. Some people go the other way where you sleep a lot. So for me, it was like either I didn't sleep or I slept a lot. The other feelings are things like you're just frayed. Your nerves are just like frazzled and you can like feel it in your bones almost. Now that was for me. That might not be everybody's experience, but that was definitely my experience.
So it's like that feeling of trudging through the mud, like you were explaining earlier, but about the crucial difference is about something that you know you care about and you don't know why you're in this place of apathy.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Okay. So there's something else. You and I were talking earlier, and you said something really brilliant, and which I think kind of ties together the burnout and what we were just talking about, the boundaries that you taught us. You said people pleasers are the ones who end up getting burnt out. So the people pleasers, the people experiencing the burnout, like there's a very real relationship here, right? So the people who experience the burnout are the ones who need the most help with the boundaries.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, it's exactly right. So oftentimes there are, and this isn't how it always works, but oftentimes you see like typical indicators of somebody who is more likely to move into like a chronic stress situation at work or burnout situation. And they typically would be the person who's taking on all the projects, the people pleaser, the one that struggles to say no, even when there's pushback, and especially when there's pushback, I should say. And the one who's probably like early starting out, really. I mean, this oftentimes is where a lot of the projects are laid on to, onto the to-do list of things. So oftentimes, yes, they will be. It's you're doing the people pleasing thing.
So Lauren, are you saying burnout is not a normal thing that you're supposed to experience several times a year? Is that what you're saying?
That's right. I mean, generally speaking, it's good to take a break several times a year to prevent burnout, but it's okay. Like, I mean, you could be tired, but the idea is that when you're tired and you rest, you feel rested, like after you've rested for a weekend. That's what you're hoping for, that you're feeling back to like able to cognitively process things and to go to work and do your things throughout the day after a weekend of rest.
And these are all of the kinds of things that you teach in your flow program. And something else, I don't remember if you said this, but you also teach the emotional regulation piece as well.
That's right. Yeah. So we go through a number of different sessions and really identify your stress mindset there's some research that's happening at Stanford University. They are looking at how to rethink stress. And so they've come up with this rethinking stress protocol where it takes you through emotion regulation process specifically for creating a stress mindset. And so, I mean, the big question to ask yourself is, how does your view of stress impact your behaviors and your actions? And if it, for a lot of people, it amplifies your stress. So if you're stressing about stress, then that's a cue that we want to, you know, support you to change your stress mindset. Or if you're avoiding stress because you don't want to feel it, so you're numbing out, you might feel depression, you might, that's where you see addiction as well. If you're not wanting to feel the stress, those are kind of issues that can come up from that. So it's really about changing your stress mindset to notice that you can still feel stress and it actually can activate you to be a better performer, to have higher performance and be more focused on what you're doing so that you can achieve your goals. And so there's a whole kind of process around that where we go through acknowledging the stress, welcoming it, and then changing the mindset around that so that you know what your goals are. And then like you have an anchor where you're able to visualize the thing that you're wanting to achieve so that whenever you are in these stressful moments, like I'm sitting at my desk, I'm in a stressful moment, I can see this anchor. I can see this picture of this future self, of this person that I want to be. And that's what allows you to kind of push through in those moments.
So it's not the stress that's the problem. It's the meta stress, the stress about the stress that creates all of these problems. And stress by itself, when not chronic, can actually be an aid for us with our goals. Is that what you're
saying?
That's
right. That's exactly right.
Wow. That's really cool. Wow. Well, this has been a really incredible conversation. And again, I think we could keep talking forever. So I'm kind of impressed that we've kept it within an hour, but I have a couple more questions for you to round us out today. How can people get more information about your program?
You can find me on Instagram, Dr. Lauren Hodge. And my website is the same, drlaurenhodge.com.
And that's DrLaurenHodge.
That's right. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. And then a couple more questions. What are three things that are making you happy right now?
Being close to my family, being close enough to where I can drive to see them, has been a great source of happiness for me lately. The beach, living at the beach, being able to go for a walk on the beach, and meal prepping actually is for the first time in my life. I am meal prepping and I love it because it saves me so much time during the week. And I just get the meal prepping done and I have like multiple meals for breakfast and lunch and dinner.
So you're finding the abundance in your life through meal prepping.
I am. Yeah. That's the secret to everything.
Love it. I love it. Oh, awesome. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Lauren, for coming and talking to me and giving my listeners so much good content. I so appreciate you being here with me.
Thank you so much for having me on. I really enjoyed our talk today.
Awesome. Okay. Well, bye for now.
Isn't Dr. Lauren just wonderful? I just absolutely love her. So I have the lucky advantage of having pretty regular meetings with her. So I get access to her special brand of brilliance around self-care, meeting your goals while avoiding burnout on a regular basis. So if you would like this kind of regular access, I mentioned already that her program, Flow, F-L-O-W, doors are opening this Friday, July 1st. So entrepreneurs and business owners, if you're multitasking, come back to me. You want to make sure you go get into her program if you're sick of doing life and business the way you always have, exhausted and burnt out. So go give her program a look. You can find it at drlaurenhodge.com/online-course. That's www.drlaurenhodge.com/online-course. So Lauren helps people to reach their goals and actually live the life they want to by employing the tools that help with emotional regulation, boundaries, as we talked about it today, and creating the anchor of the vision of the future self you want to be. So to find out more, go to that link I mentioned. I'll put it in the show notes. Go do it. Take a look. This has been another episode of the Aligned Compass Podcast. Thanks for joining me today for this conversation. My wish for you is that you have an aligned day, week, month, and year, and that you attract up-leveled opportunities, connections, and clients. I'm your host, Amber Christine. Bye for now.